Reading to the end of the chapter. Revelation 18, starting in verse 11. And the merchants of the earth wept and mourned over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and oil, olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for is gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. Merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her.' Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Oh, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpets will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all who had been slain on the earth." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this picture of what is happening right at the end of the tribulation, Lord, this vision that will happen. I praise you, Father, that we can look ahead and see why it's going to happen. And Father, that will mean something to us even today. And we can look out at our world right now and see why people believe what they believe or do what they do, or Father, why sometimes they despair. So, Father, I pray that as we get into this, that you would teach us to lean on you. Teach us to trust in you. Teach us, Lord God, that our lives are just a vapor. And, Father, everything we are here, what we have here, is nothing to be compared with who we are in Christ and what we have in our inheritance in Christ. Lord God, you are amazing. You are such a great God and such a wonderful Father. Lord, there is nothing in us that deserves your righteousness. And yet, Christ became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Your righteousness, we have become that, and nothing in us deserves that. So, Father, we praise you for the grace given to us, the mercy and the love that you have shown us. So often we take Satan's angle and puff up in pride rather than remembering Christ and the humility in which he came, died for us. Thank you for that example. Thank you for your salvation. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Revelation, we know that the writer, John, the apostle, He's written the book, and the theme of the book is to reveal Christ. And all through it, we have seen how he has revealed him. He revealed him in chapter 1 as that great image, that wonderful image that we saw. And then the messages in 2 and 3 to the churches, we looked at those. And can see how we can even apply some of that even today. Chapter 4, what we saw, the rapture of the church, because the elders that were there most likely are representative of the church. And the creatures and the throne. And then we saw Christ being revealed as a lamb, the slain lamb, the one who was slain. And yet, he is the only one that was worthy to open that scroll, the scroll being the title to the universe. He is the only one worthy to do that. And to do that, he broke the seals. And those first seven seals were judgments against the earth. And we saw those judgments. And the seventh one was to open the trumpets, the trumpet seals, and we saw those judgments and all of those judgments. And then we had an introduction into who the false prophet was, who the beast was, the Antichrist, the dragon, Satan himself being over all of that. We saw eventually the war in heaven, and Satan was kicked out and his demons, and now they're on earth. That would have been about the midpoint of the tribulation, so they are on earth and they are creating havoc, but they are have taken over the whole world. And what we saw is they made Babylon and raised up Babylon to be the capital of the world, the world's capital at this point. So what we saw then was the bowl judgments and those last judgments, those last seven judgments. And when they came, it got to the end of chapter 16, and those bowl judgments was going to usher in Christ coming back. Christ coming on the clouds. But before that, we had chapter 17, which showed the destruction of Babylon. Now, chapter 17, we saw the religious destruction, the religion of Babylon being completely destroyed. And at the end of that, only, or at the midpoint of that, the Antichrist is the only one who will be gaining worship, or the only one to be worshipped. So whatever religious system encompassed all religions at the first half of the tribulation, that was destroyed. And so now you have just the worship of the beast, just the worship of the Antichrist. And so we saw that religious system being destroyed, but now we're looking at the physical destruction of Babylon. And this comes at the end of the tribulation also, but before Christ comes back. Because this is before the Battle of Armageddon there in the Valley of Jezreel. It's before that. So right today what we're looking at is the physical destruction of Babylon. We've already looked in the first few verses of chapter 18 about the destruction of Babylon and how it was viewed by the kings of the earth, or those in power. And so what did they say? They said, whoa, there's this great city and all that it held for us. Well, what did it hold for them? It held power, prestige. It held their glory. This is how they gained their power through that city. Well, today we're going to be looking at two more groups that are crying, whoa. First group is going to be the merchants. The merchants. It's the second group that he talks about. You look in verse 11. And says, the merchants of the earth wept and mourned over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Did you know why? Did you see why? The reason they're weeping and mourning. It wasn't because they had such beautiful buildings. It wasn't because the structure was so... It was because of the system that was entrenched in the city. That system. And they're weeping and mourning. The words weep and mourn, it denotes a deep longing from their soul. Just like the kings, except for it's for a different reason. The world's economy will come to a halt at that point. You know, at this time in the tribulation, you know, you cannot buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. That mark that's on the forehead or the hand and may have a chip under it or whatever, no one will be able to do anything whatsoever without it. And think about it, folks. It's going to be totally and completely convenient. You walk into a store and you get your stuff and you walk out and wave your hand or you wave it over your head. No cash, no cards, nothing anyone can steal. It's just so convenient. Looking at a news article this week, I think it was on Fox News, I don't know. But it was about an Aldi store. We know about Aldi's.
and I don't know where it was, but they're opening their first store where you put everything into your cart and you walk out, and all you have to do is put your card in. You don't have to scan every item. This is, it takes a picture of the thing, and you put your card in, or you take your smartphone and you use Google Pay, and you just walk out with all of it. You don't have to scan at all. It's getting easier. It's supposed to be getting more and more convenient that way, and maybe it'll cut down on some of the shoplifting. Who knows? All right, but whatever it is, it's going to be a lot more convenient just to walk out of the store and wave your arm, or to scan it over your head and just walk in, grab what you want, walk out. It's going to be so convenient, but it's all going to be centralized in Babylon, the capital city of the world. All of it is going to be centralized. It's all going to be digital or whatever it is. It's going to be centralized in that one place. And the merchants are going to grow extremely wealthy because of this. The whole system is going to be based on luxury and splendor. And we'll see that in a minute. But he's saying, why are they weeping? Well, there's no market. There's no money. The money's wrapped up in that Babylonian system and it's gone. And look what he says in verses 12 and 13. He lists 28 items here, or categories. 28 items are categories, and they encompass what was the most valuable in that day. They encompass everything that was luxurious. If you look at it, 12 says, cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every article of ivory, every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume, frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. All of these it encompasses not only the stuff that glitters, but it encompasses food. It encompasses the livestock. And I want you to see at the end of it, it encompasses slaves. Slaves and human lives. Who are they going to be? I got a clue. If you don't have the mark, you can't buy or sell anything. There is no black market. You can't buy anything. You can't get anything. So if you're a slave and you aren't killed yet because of it, maybe you can eat. All right, so I think that's just a theory. That's a theory. You can take it or leave it. All right, but it's going to happen. And it's going to encompass slavery even. It reveals this longing for luxury that they have. But notice that the wealth that's going on here and the wealth that is worshipped. It's not just wealth, but it's the wealth that is worshipped. Look at verse 14. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. Where it says no longer, that's a double negative in the original language. It's mu, it's me'u. It's saying no longer. Well, in the English, that means it cancels it out. In the Greek, it doesn't cancel it out. In the Greek, it makes it stronger. So it's absolutely not. It'll all be gone. It'll absolutely pass away from them. So the deep longings, of the people was the flesh, the internal desires that we are born into. They want these people are trying to fill the God hole. Because remember, when we're created with a God hole. Everybody is. That's why the Bible says the fool saith in his heart there is no God. It's just foolish because they know there's a God. It's just, how do you fill that God hole? Well, we look to the flesh, so off the people without Christ look to the flesh to fill that God hole. So they fill it with all of these things, strive to fill it with all of these things, all of these luxurious things. And the problem is that's never fulfilling. It fills to a point, but it's never fulfilling. It can satisfy to a point, but it's never totally satisfying. You saw the true desires there in the middle of 14. It says all things that are luxurious and splendid, but they've all passed away from you, and men will find them
no more. The word passed away is, in the original language, it's apoleto, and it's in the middle voice. It means that it's destroyed itself. All of these things have destroyed their own system. The people have destroyed their own system by seeking after these above seeking after God. So it comes down to the fact that remember, humanism is the main religious aspect here. You know, they serve the beast, and he promotes humanism. He promotes that people are God, that people are so wonderful. And yet he demands worship, we know that. But the whole religious system was based on humanism at this point, and you can see that, and it is today. Not the religious system so much, but the world is based on that. You know, and in saying all this, I want you to know that money, or all 28 of these categories, is not the problem. None of these things are sinful. You look at it, it's gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, cinnamon, spice, incense, perfume, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat. There's nothing sinful about any of that. It's the love of it above the love of God that becomes sinful. That's where the heart is. And in Babylon, that's where the heart was. Will be. That's where the heart will be. Because the whole world system is going through the one city, going through the one, I want to say man, but it's not going to be a man. Well, it is going to be a man, but it's, the Antichrist. Going through Satan. Let's just go with that. He's the originator. He's the dictator there. But that one city, is everything in the world is going to pass through that. All the merchandise is going to be dictated from there. Where it goes is going to be dictated from there. Do you remember on 9/11 when the Twin Towers went down? And what was the main thing that happened in the Twin Towers? Well, the shipments of gold, of oil. Shipments of oil were kind of coordinated from there. That word got out. And what happened to it at our gas stations? Remember the lines? Remember the lines, the huge long lines at the gas station? Why? For the fear of the fact that, hey, something's going to get disrupted. The oil is going to do the war. We're not going to have gas. So everybody went and filled their vehicles up, right? Because of that perception. Well, here it's not just a perception. In Babylon, when it is destroyed, the merchants of the earth are going to, keep going. Look at verse 15. The merchants of those things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. Now they're standing at a distance. We're standing at a distance because they understand this is a judgment. Again, we see, just like the bowl judgments, again, we see they understand it's a judgment from God. And yet, what are they doing here? They're weeping and mourning. Look what they say, verse 16, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls." The rich city, the one that we became rich from, the one that we got our fill of our God hole from. The one that we were at times satisfied from and seemingly satisfied that we had great wealth and we had all of these luxuries and we had slaves and we had all of these. Whoa, this great city. So what are they doing? They are mourning her. They are remorseful because of that. They are not repentant because this is God doing it. Just like the bowl judgment. Remember the bowl judgments? The bowl judgments and they happened and the people went out and they hid and they cried out and what did they do? They blasphemed God. They didn't repent. They blasphemed. Why? Because they'd already taken the mark of the beast. They'd already chosen who to worship. Themselves, basically. But they blasphemed because they didn't want what God offered.
You know, it amazed me, because what does God offer? He offers salvation, right? He offers, when we repent and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us new life, abundant life, free life. I mean, who wouldn't want that? I tell you who wouldn't want it. Somebody who wants to control their own destiny. Someone who wants to fill their own God hole with what they want. Again, the aspect of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. So it comes down to, again, are people following the flesh, or are they following the Spirit? Are they following what God desires, or are they following what they desire? And in the tribulation, it's going to be very easy to see, because they're going to have a mark. They're going to have a mark. And that will be their conscious choice to follow what they desire rather than what God desires. And folks, it's going to be kind of an obvious mark, because it's you want to eat, take the mark. You want to die, don't take the mark. You want to be sold into slavery, don't take the mark. Right, so it's going to be an economic choice. It's going to be a life choice. But what kind of life? Physical life, not spiritual life. So that's going to be the choice there going on. Did you notice in verse 17? Yes, 17. These people are wailing and moaning and mourning this. And it says, for in 1 hour, this is what the people say, for in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. 1 hour, great wealth has been laid waste. You look at that, and you know, we have an example of that in Scripture. Jesus, he was talking in a parable in, I believe, Luke chapter 12. He says, and he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, did you get that, to my very being, my inner being, soul, you have good things laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and not rich towards God. So there's the key, is the wealth towards God. All right, so it's not... The riches, or the gold, or the silver, or the wheat, or the barley, or whatever was named there, that's the problem. It's the attitude towards that. Whether that is being used to replace God, right? And that's what's going on here. The people have replaced God with all of these things, or seeking these. And then, did you notice it says in 1 hour? In other words, very quickly it's going to happen. And he'll give an illustration of that pretty soon. Look at the third set of people in verse 17, in the middle of it. And every shipmaster, and every passenger and sailor, and as many as made their living by the sea, stood at a distance, and they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. And in 1 hour she has been laid waste. The sea people. Now we look at that and say, well, wait a second. I mean, not everything's gone by sea. The vision that was given to John is something that he understood. Now, can you imagine the angel saying, look at the plane. Look at the plane, the people, the airplane pilots. Look at the shipping industry by semis. John would have been going, whoa, what is that? Right? So I believe what he's talking about in the shipping or the passengers is we're talking about the transportation industry. All of the transportation, whether people or whether supplies. It is all based around or in the system of Babylon, the world capital. So to fly anywhere, to ship anything anywhere, if you order on Amazon, it has to go through Babylon, right? To order any kind of fertilizer or any kind of car, it has to go through Babylon. And the system of Babylon is being destroyed here. The merchants cried out, whoa, whoa. Well, guess what? The whole shipping industry cries out, whoa, whoa. Why? Because that's what they base their life around. That's what they found their satisfaction in. You see, and that can never, ever truly satisfy. It represents the whole industry of it. And all travel is going to run through Babylon. Did you notice they had the same reactions? Kept a distance. Great city. What a great city. And yet it's being destroyed. Their whole way of life is being destroyed. You know, back in 2008, in 08 when they had the banking industry, there was somebody that I'd talked to somebody who had a gal called him and said, you know, I just had to go out and get a case of beer and drink it just to calm down, just to get settled down, because she was so upset because she saw such a bad thing happening. Well, it's the same thing as the pandemic when 2020, when COVID hit. John, our son John, who's a pharmacist, he was in his pharmacy in Ottumwa, and he had a gal come in and just blew up, just cried, gushing, cried. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? What's going on? So it's the fear factor. Because everything that they knew that they were comfortable in was gone. And in her mind, the whole world was going to change now, because everything that was common, everything, you know, I have to wear a mask, I can't do this, I can't do that, and we're all going to die. Right? So look at just think about that as a small thing according to this. Because all of these people are standing back at a distance saying, everything I built my life on is gone. And you notice it's gone in 1 hour. It quickly, it's disappeared. And what am I going to do? Whoa. So they're very remorseful. But they aren't repentant. Do you see this? They're remorseful, but they're not repentant. Keep going, because there is a happy group. There's a rejoicing group. Look what it says in verse 20. Rejoice over her. This isn't the angel. He is talking to those in heaven. He says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. It's those in heaven. The saints are the ones who have trusted Christ, who have died and are in heaven. The apostles and prophets, what did they prophesy about? They told people about this. Remember? How do we know about the tribulation? John was an apostle. The prophets, Daniel, you go into Daniel and look at all of the aspects of Revelation. All right, so the prophets, and who else was it? It was Zephaniah, Isaiah, Hosea. We've taken stuff from all of these prophets, right? The minor prophets, the major. They knew that something was coming. They have been prophesying in. And the angel says to heaven, he says, rejoice, because you know why? Because God is faithful to his word. Because what God said is going to happen. And this is proof. It will happen. It is happening. You look at verse 20, the end of verse 20. It says, God has pronounced judgment. And look at what he says. For you against her, against Babylon. For you. He's pronounced judgment. For you. So that you can see that God is faithful. And so that everyone around Babylon can see that God is faithful. That his word is true. And then he gives the illustration. Look at the illustration, verse 21. Then a strong angel, another angel. Strong. How strong? Well, he took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea. Strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Now the millstones, most of them were 4 to 5 feet in diameter, circle. 4 to 5 feet in diameter, and about a foot thick. Fairly heavy. Fairly heavy, right? And when we were in Israel, remember we went to an olive press, did we not? It was an olive press. And there was one of those millstones. It's not something that you go up and flip over. It's just not. It's huge, heavy. So it was a strong angel. It was an amazing angel. Now, how strong of an angel would it take? I can't think that far. Can't think that way, all right? But we know angels are huge, strong. But what does the angel do? He picks it up and he throws it into the sea. And he says, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence
and will not be found any longer. He throws it into the sea. What happens when you take something that big and throw it forcefully into the sea? Does it float? Does it stick around for a while and just kind of slowly go down? It's heavy. It goes down. It disappears quickly. And that's the illustration. And all of those others, the leaders, the kings, the merchants, the travel agencies people, they all say, it's in an hour. All of this greatness is destroyed in an hour. So everything they base their life on is destroyed in an hour. It's just boom. And that just blows their mind. How can something that great? Notice they all say that great city, even the angel. Do you see that? Even the angel says, so will Babylon, the great city. What you are calling the great city. What all the merchants and the kings and the shipping industry calls the great city. Such a great city. It's great by human standards, not great by God's standards. In fact, this is a judgment, and it's with violence. And where it says, will not be found any longer, again, double negative, will not be found any longer, will not ever be found any longer. But he gives this illustration so that John can understand how great it's going to be and how violent it's going to be. And by the way, it's not going to be found any longer because there's going to be no more need of it. Think about the millennial kingdom, which is coming at that point. But, you know, it's such a great city because it's the great feat of humanity. But remember what we talked about with Babylon. How did Babylon begin? The Tower of Babel? Babel, which was the first, that's the beginning of Babylon. That's where the city was, Nimrod, who founded it. And so the great thing was, let's make a great name for ourselves to build this tower to heaven. And God foiled that. So now, what are they doing? Let's make a greater name for ourselves. The whole world will revolve around Babylon. So with violence, Babylon is knocked out. And everyone involved there are mourning, weeping, but not repentant. Look at verse 22. Even the normal things, even the everyday life things, the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpets will not, again, double negative, all these are double negative, be heard in you any longer. No craftsman, not craftsmen of any craft will be found in you any longer. The sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. The light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. They won't even have, there's no love going on. There's no food prep. There's no craftsmanship. There's no music going on. Why? Because it's going to be destroyed. Because everything about the world system at that point that is against God is going to be completely destroyed. And there's so many people that are going to be wailing because of this. But he tells the people in heaven to rejoice. But here's why. Why did all this happen? Well, look at the end of verse 23. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. So all of these great people that everybody adored, everybody thought was so wonderful, they've fallen now. And here's what's going on. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. All of the nations were deceived by the sorcery. Right? Those great rulers, the ones who were wealthy and who were powerful and who were fame, had so much fame. How did they get in that position? Because they were deceived by the nations. Deceived, again, by Satan. But the nations were deceived by this whole system, longing for what looks valuable but holds no eternal worth. What? Wealth, power, prestige, fame, earthly glory? Being so popular? All of these things seem to hold satisfaction and yet don't have nothing eternal to them. Everything promised by Satan to fulfill that God-hole doesn't.
and it will never truly satisfy. Look at the last verse. The true reason. This is a true reason. And in her, Babylon, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. The blood of those slain in the name of Christ. The whole world system is anti-God. You know that even now, right? It's going to be very obvious then. Now it's not quite as obvious, but the whole world system is anti-God. Basically, it is look out for number one. You know, grab all the gusto you can. It's all selfishness rather than selflessness. That's what the world system is based on. It's what people today without Christ strive for, thinking it will give them peace and satisfy, but it will never be enough, and it'll never be lasting. You know, there's so many today who are deceived in the same way as these people are going to be deceived, not wanting to submit to God, but rather wanting to be their own gods, just like Satan. And that's why in the tribulation they react with such woe, but not with repentance. They react with such remorse, but not with repentance. They react with such sadness. And that's why we preach Christ today. That's why we live out Christ today, to show others Jesus Christ, to draw them to what is true, away from a system that pretends to fill the God hole, and to introduce them to the God who does fill that God hole, who does everything that is needed. Let me ask you, He is our only hope that's forever. So have you experienced that repentance? Have you experienced that salvation? If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that today. This world system is going to get worse, but it will never satisfy. It will never bring true peace into our hearts. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, if you haven't, I would love to show you from God's Word how you can have a relationship with Him. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ, then don't trust the world system to bring you joy and peace. You have it in Christ. Tap into what you already have, because it never will. Trust your Father who loves you, who guides you, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're famous, whether you're powerful, or whether you have no power, or nobody knows your name. Trust Him, because He will give you a lamp and a light. Remember that? Lamp to my feet, light to my... What is that? God's Word, God's truth. He'll give you what you need for today. He's not going to show you what's going to happen in your life for the whole rest of your life. But He'll give you the light you need to take the next step. He'll lead you. His Word. And He gives you that with His Word. Follow Him. Live in His light. Keep trusting Him. Because you know what? He is good for His Word. God will do what His Word says He will do. There is no doubt. And that's why at the end of that, He said, hey, you in heaven, you have died, rejoice. Guess what? God's showing Himself as God. He is showing, He is proving to everyone. And the people of the earth who have their whole system of religion, basically, wrapped up in the world system, are going to be weeping and mourning. You folks in heaven who know God are going to be rejoicing. Guess what we get to do? We get to rejoice. Why? Because we know that if God said it, it's going to happen. So everything else that He said is going to happen. What did He say? I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. No matter what the circumstance, we can trust our Daddy, our Abba, our Father. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much that we can trust You. Lord, that we know that what You say in Your Word is true, because You said it. And Father God, You have given us Your truth, and we are so grateful. And there is nothing in us that deserves it. But Lord God, everything in us thanks You for it. Father, I pray that You would help us to be dependent upon You. So often we want to depend on what the world system is, and we're pushed that way. But Lord God, we can resist, because we can know You even more. Father, The only reason we love you is because we've grown in your love, because we've grown knowing your love. And when we know your love, we can share that love with others, and especially love you. So, Father God, I pray that we would be dependent upon you. We would not get our satisfaction or our God hole filled with anything but you. Because, Lord God, you are the only one that satisfies forever. We love you, we honor and worship your name. Through Christ I pray. Amen.